This is Will's Band of the Week for September 15th, 2013. Hello and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Barrett live in studio.
Hello.
And Chris live from an undisclosed location.
Here I am.
He's sounding pretty good, isn't he, Barrett?
He does.
Yeah, I think he took the tennis shoes out of the dryer. Yeah, the computer's good. That's you're the Apple fanboy now, right?
Yes, indeed. I'm in the cult.
We touched on that a little bit last week. There's an ongoing debate in my family about this. One of my kids versus the other kid. One pro-Apple, one anti-Apple. And they go for the throat. I mean, it's just brutal, you know? You know how it is with brother rivalry? It's like, you are a complete idiot if you don't agree with me. I mean, it's kind of what it's like. So, this Apple stuff can get people, it can really get the tempers going. So I hope that doesn't happen in your family, Chris. I'm sure your kids will end up getting into a brawl about Apple products, I'm sure. All right, let's see. What are we doing? We have all kinds of stuff this week. Let's do this. I first wanted to say I was inspired by that great 38 special thing that Nicholas Ogburn sent us, and I was thinking people should send us audio, right? Wouldn't that be cool? I mean, you can record anything on a computer or a phone or anything these days, right? Just send us the file to our email, willsband@yahoo.com, and if it's not terrible, we'll probably play it on the podcast, right?
Even if it is terrible.
Yeah, probably will play it even if it is terrible.
Yeah, and it can't be any worse than us talking.
Right. I mean, people have, you know, some podcasts have like an 800 number to call or some phone number. Forget the phone number. Just send us the file and just think of all the possibilities. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, I think even if you have like an iPhone, you can just do like a voice memo and email it, right? Isn't it that easy?
I think it is. Yeah, they make it so easy, like, because now they want you to put everything on Facebook or Twitter, so there's always like a share command, right? And you can just email it to us instead. We don't yet have an icon, which is just like send to Will's Band of the Week. That should be one of the other options,
right?
But we haven't negotiated that with Apple yet. There are ongoing negotiations.
Yes, we've got to sit down with the internet at some point and hash this all out.
Right. So you can, it's just another one of those things that goes on behind the scenes that the listeners, they don't really need to know about that. I mean, we can handle these hardball negotiations with Apple and, you know, Samsung, Microsoft, all these companies. We'll do that for you. So you don't have to worry about it. I went to see the Psychedelic Furs this week.
Yes.
So I should tell the listeners about that, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is it. This is my really simple review. It's kind of a victory for the old guys because they sounded really good.
What songs did they play? Did they stick with the popular ones or newer things or like a mixture? What did they do?
They definitely stuck with the old stuff, and they also threw in some old stuff, you know, for the real fans that you know were not the big hits,
right?
So like, there's one called "The Wedding Song."
Oh yeah,
played that
from the first album,
and.
Play like India or
they didn't play India or Sister
Imitation
Europe
of Christ
or they didn't play no. that either but it was a very good mix, I thought. But I mean, mostly of old stuff. And Richard Butler, he is you know, almost you could call him a throwback now, because there aren't people as many people like that now. It seems like it's now we're in the days of indie rock shoegazers, right? So even the lead singer usually just stands there or looks down or whatever. He's like a showman. He's got all these hand gestures, and he's running back and forth. And the other thing that was kind of cool was, you know how his voice and the way he sings, this whole attitude is kind of like a snarl, kind of like, how dare somebody call me right now?
Yeah, he's calling you right now.
Yeah,
he disagrees with your characterization of his.
We don't have the podcast in session thing doesn't work for the phone, so We'll just ignore that. So, but here's the thing. He, like, vocally, sometimes he's singing like Johnny Rotten, kind of, right? Mm-hmm. And then in between songs, he's got this big smile on his face. It's kind of a fun contrast. Either he's a really good actor or he really is having fun. He seemed like he was pretty much into it. Mm-hmm. And the band was not the original band except for his brother, Tim Butler, who's the bass player.
Right.
And Tim Butler has this kind of classic British rocker. Man, that phone is going nuts. Well, anyway, he's got this rock and roll stance and this kind of look that he has that it's just it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bratty. Okay, he's being bratty and he's like 50 years old. So,
but just the like whole when we saw what who did we see at the Pitchfork Festival that was like 19 years old and bratty?
Ice Age.
Is that Ice Age? Yeah.
Yeah, they're like way older than even old enough to be Ice Age's parents.
Yeah, so what's worse, right? Being 50 in your 50s and bratty or being in your like sub 20 and like fake bratty?
Exactly. I think Tim Butler had a better bratty. But I'm
biased.
What
is the optimal bratty age? What age are you allowed to be legitimately be bratty in music?
Well, you know, if you're going to be honest about it, you probably got to go with the young people because you know that's
they don't know
age when that's the age when you're thinking a lot of bratty thoughts. So accurate expression requires it. So
I was just thinking if I were 19 years old and in you know touring the world with my band, there wouldn't be a whole lot to be bratty about. I don't think.
No. Most of that, anyway, it's all just a pose. You know what I mean? That's what I don't like. Whether you're 60 or 20, if it doesn't feel authentic, I'm not buying it.
Here's a throwback Psychedelic Furs tune. I wanted to play some to commemorate this. This is All of This and Nothing.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that was
one of their second album.
One of the highlights of the show, I think. And they did have a saxophone player who was prominent in the whole thing. And he was an older guy, not the original saxophone player for the band, but I looked him up afterwards, and he's like this accomplished musician guy.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have cred like the Psychedelic Furs, you can get a really good musician. You can pick one up if you need one. And then the guitar player they had... It was funny because, you know, I looked at this guy. I'm like, oh, he's the young guy. They recruited a young guy to be the guitar player. I looked him up. He's like 39. That's the young guy. So, yep. Anyway, it was great. Very
well,
good.
Well, as Chris knows, though, the 39-year-olds are young people and 40-year-olds are old people.
Right. You got to draw the line somewhere. You got to draw it somewhere.
A bright line of delineation. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, we did have this week, too.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Ray Dolby died this week. Did you guys read that?
I saw the headline somewhere.
You guys know who Ray Dolby was?
Dolby noise reduction guy.
Exactly. He invented Dolby noise reduction. Like every cassette player in the world had Dolby noise reduction.
Mm-hmm.
It had his name on it.
I'm assuming nobody could hear his screams then.
Oh, that's right.
Because his noise got reduced.
Probably took him a while to find him.
His noise has been permanently and completely reduced.
But that's pretty amazing. to be the inventor.
Yeah, he's probably fairly quiet now.
Yeah, he's now very quiet.
Yeah.
Keep him coming, Chris. he was also the co-inventor, apparently, of the whole concept of videotape recording. You know, what developed into the VCR while he was working for a company called Ampex. So this is like a classic geek guy. So I was thinking, I wondered if Thomas Dolby, the artist, if that name had some relation to Ray Dolby or...
Science!
Exactly. Or Dolby Laboratories.
Was he blinded with science? Was that what happened?
Well...
suffocated by science.
Thomas Dolby was always kind of a geeky type guy. So I looked this up, and it turned out that, yes, he got this as a nickname because, you know, he was a geeky guy. So his friends nicknamed him Dolby. His name, Thomas Dolby's given name, was Thomas Robertson. And so just when he was kind of breaking out, there was a guy named Tom Robinson. Remember the Tom Robinson
the
band or whatever?
Yeah, band.
Yeah, so he's like, okay, I guess I'll be Thomas Dolby. And then apparently this became like a problem at some point where there was a legal dispute that after she blinded me with science that Chris was referring to. the article says, Dolby Laboratories expressed concern regarding the musician's stage name. You know, I used to work with a guy who was a real jerk. And whenever, like, something would go wrong, he would say, I'm concerned. That'd be like his term. Like, okay, concerned. So anyway, the Dolby company was concerned about this. And there was a lengthy legal battle. But then it was determined that Dolby Labs had no right to restrict Thomas Dolby from using the name, as long as he didn't release any electronic equipment using the name.
Fair enough.
You could have like Thomas Dolby noise reduction that is claiming to be better than the original Dolby noise reduction.
Yeah, I can see where that would be a problem.
Yeah, that might be a problem.
Were you a fan of Dolby noise reduction? Every time I would like click it, it gets rid of all the hiss and stuff, but it also just makes it sound like garbage. So I'd always undo the noise reduction.
Oh, because you didn't mind the hiss.
I'd rather have the hiss than... I mean, it just kind of like muted everything. Brought everything...
Yeah, it muted out the highs and the lows.
Yeah.
And it just kind of evened it all out. Yeah.
No, I thought...
Of course, this is the last time this discussion will ever be had in the universe.
Right, yeah.
Because you don't even have to worry about it anymore.
Point, counterpoint on Dolby noise reduction.
You know, they were... late in the life of cassette decks... They developed an improved Dolby noise reduction called Dolby C, and Dolby B was the one we're all familiar with mostly. But Dolby C, I had a tape deck that had Dolby C on it. It was really good. It was superior. Hmm. But then I think tape decks kind of died.
Well, I will soon be starting my career as under the pseudonym Philip Sony. So
you just don't release any electronic equipment, Chris.
Eddie surround sound.
Right. Chris surround. Yeah.
But tape decks have not completely gone away. There's tape store day coming up, like record store day.
Yeah, cassette store day.
Yeah, cassette
right.
store day.
Right. I think that was like a week ago because Grant wanted to get some cassettes. So he went in to Strictly Discs and said I'm in, and they're like, "Well, we don't really have many cassettes."
Yeah.
And they said, "Why don't you go over to Mad City Music Exchange."
Mm-hmm.
So I took him over there. They didn't have very many cassettes there either. They had like old ones. You know, you might be able to find like 38 Special or something on a
nice.
On a cassette.
Nice reference there too.
But they didn't.
God, we snuck that in.
Yep. But they didn't have the new cutting edge stuff on cassette. So yeah. Hey, you know, Thomas Dolby was actually, I think he was pretty good. She Blinded Me with Science was, he was starting to lose me, but there was this great album called The Golden Age of Wireless. Do you guys remember this album?
No.
As far as I knew, Thomas Dolby just sort of emerged fully formed and came out with this song on the radio, and nobody had ever heard
of it. I was going to say, if you're about to tell us that you like a lot of Thomas Dolby's earlier stuff, that's
I
like...
do. I'm telling you that. I am telling you that.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, let's play one song. Tell me what you think. This is called Airwaves.
Strange how the scale forms in tiny patterns.
people. I turn my vehicle beneath the river west from south.
That's a little taste. That's a really good album, though.
I'm trying to think of something comparable. That's like saying, like, oh, I saw the Thompson twins when there were just two of them or something. I like a lot of Spandau Ballet's earlier stuff. When they got big, they kind of sold out.
Right. I don't know. There must have, you know, that first album must have had at least some level of, you know, people listening to it because I had the album.
Great. Now Spandau Ballet's lawyers are calling us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking Thomas Dolby, the golden age of wireless. So,
all right.
Oh, you know, this is an exciting call. This almost relates to music news.
Oh, yeah?
This is my son's friend asking about the great show we're going to see tonight by The National. Isn't
that
cool?
That's tonight. Wow.
Yeah. Two of my kids are going, one of their friends. It's like, it's a family affair.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So,
Chris, yeah. Are you going to?
Chris sounded really inspired.
You know, I'm going to pass on that show tonight.
Well, it's probably
sure
just as well.
Sure, it'll be great.
Just as well you're passing because it's sold out.
I'm sure a lot of people enjoy it, and I enjoy it when people are enjoying themselves.
That's good.
It makes me happier. So and, I hope everybody has a good time.
We'll tell you. I've already told you how I went on assignment this week to see the Psychedelic Furs. So this week we've got The National, and I'm also going on assignment to see Savages on Wednesday.
Mm.
So we are going to be
Mr. Rock and Roll.
We are totally rocking. Yep. Oh, the other thing about the Psychedelic Furs, the crowd was not quite as old as me, which isn't surprising. But instead of being like the oldest person there, which is usually the case, I was only older than about 85% of the people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was a solid 15% older than me.
That's not bad.
Yeah. And it was not sold out, but the crowd that was there was very enthusiastic. So, and I was commenting to some friends, there were a lot of women there. So I think Richard Butler has a way with the women, I think. There were a lot of women about age, you know, like Chris's age, like 40-year-old women rockers.
So super old.
Yeah. No, they weren't quite as old. So, see, I don't know. And this is the thing where the Psychedelic Furs, I was thinking, okay, if these people that are 10 years younger than me, they kind of would have missed the whole heyday of the Psychedelic Furs, but maybe like they were fans of Pretty in Pink or something.
I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you're a John Hughes fan, then you probably know a lot of their songs through there.
Right.
Like if you went to see the Plimsolls, there'd be a billion women there, you know?
Plimsolls, yeah. There's some band like that that I knew a guy from the Fox Valley who's now like, he joined this band. It wasn't the Plimsolls. It's some band like that that was like a, you know, in their heyday was kind of a John Hughes-ish type band. I forgot what the band is. It's like, oh, this guy's in the band now, and they tour and stuff, and he's like having a blast.
Hmm.
That's what you got to do. Find a band that their heyday was 30 years ago and go join them. Yeah. All right, what are we doing now? I think Chris had some music news, didn't you, Chris?
Yeah, I was reading up on the Onions AV Club, and they were doing a story on what should your state's theme song be. And so I was trying to think of Wisconsin-centric songs, and their recommendation for Wisconsin is called the Pulsars, and it's Tunnel Song, and it has a reference kind of in an intro that talks about Wisconsin Dells and how it's a tourist trap and or whatever. And I think this is about a 20-year-old song. Actually, it's from 1997, so
the
it's
Pulsars?
16 years old.
That's like a reach, right? I mean, I never even heard of it.
Yeah. But so I was trying to think of Wisconsin-related songs. Smoking Pumps has a song called Welcome to Janesville. Let's see. Jerry Lee Lewis has What Made Milwaukee Famous. Let's see.
I know the Replacements name-check Madison in the song Treatment Bound.
Yeah, the Moldy Peaches have a song where they talk about Madison, too. Frank Zappa has a song called the Madison Panty Sniffing Festival.
Really? I didn't know about that.
Which actually isn't really a song, but it's just kind of like an interlude. But so I started like looking around for songs that would satisfy this, and I found a song by Dolly Parton and Porter Wagoner from 1969 called Milwaukee, Here I Come. And it is actually outstanding. And I started listening to this old 1969 Porter Wagoner Dolly Parton album, and I cannot more highly recommend it. It is so great. Like, I mean, it's a, you know, an old country sound that like so many people are trying to replicate now. I mean, if you listen to Nico Case or people like that, it really is kind of the sound that they're going for. But I mean, it's just an absolutely fantastic album. So I would highly recommend it. So basically, this is all just a Trojan horse for me to be able to recommend this album. But yeah, I'd say check it out. It's on Spotify. It's called Always, Always by, I think it's listed under Porter Wagoner, but Dolly Parton is on it. And if you don't know the story, Porter Wagoner had, you know, his old country review TV show, and he invited this, you know, unknown named Dolly Parton on to sing on the show. And she got to be such a huge hit. You know, she went off and went solo, and he got really mad, and he started demanding that she owe him, you know, 50% of everything she made and all that kind of stuff. And so there was a bitter feud for decades. And then on his deathbed, she granted him all this money that she probably didn't owe him, but she wanted to be nice and give it to him anyway. Anyway, I really love Dolly Parton, actually. She's a tough old lady, and her songs are great. So that's my recommendation.
I found the song, so let's play a little bit. Yeah, here it is.
Said, let's go to Tennessee.
So we came down to Nashville to the Grand Ole Opry.
We were watching TV. Porter Wagoner was singing loud. I said, that's the man for me. I love him, there's no doubt. I'm leaving now. See if I can't find out where he's at. And if I can't get him, I'll settle for that bluegrass less to play.
Oh,
I'm glad they mentioned beer when they mentioned Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You got to do that.
That was 1969. That's when Milwaukee was, you know, really raging. It was, you know, one of the most populous cities in the country, and now it seems to be kind of forgotten. So, it's nice, and it's really odd that it would show up in a country song. I mean, you don't, when you think of country music, you don't really think of Milwaukee breweries a lot.
No, that's true. Right. There's one other song that we haven't mentioned. There's a Fountains of Wayne song that mentions like touring through Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I think you played that on the podcast once.
Yeah, I think I did. You know, but this sort of does highlight, right? There are not quite as many songs about Wisconsin as there are about like LA or New York.
Yes.
That's true.
I don't know, but you know, think about other states, right? Like how many songs are there about like, you know, Missouri or something, you know, probably not that many.
I think the Violent Femmes actually put together some kind of like a B-side or something, or just an album of Wisconsin-related songs that they had written that was just kind of a, you know, kind of a compilation, not an actual album. But
yeah.
But other than that, I mean, there have got to be plenty more that I don't know. I mean, I didn't even know about this song until a week ago, so.
Yeah, well, Sufjan Stevens. Do some more research. Sufjan Stevens better get going if he's going to do all 50 states, right?
Right. He's got to do the Wisconsin project.
He only did two, right? And then he did Michigan and Illinois, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And he's really got to get going. I think he just doesn't know what he wants to do, right? Haven't heard much from him lately. I thought that phase with those 9-minute songs was actually pretty good. Then he abandoned that. So who knows? All right. You mentioned Nico Case. So there is a new Nico Case album, and we've got that on the agenda. So let's talk about it. Nico Case has a new album, you guys.
No.
Yep. And it has one of those long, you know, I don't like long album names. The album name is too long, so I'm just going to criticize that right now. It's called The Worse Things Get, The Harder I Fight. The Harder I Fight, The More I Love You.
Seems a bit pretentious.
It's whatever it is. It's too long. So, but the album's pretty good, I think. And it, I think Nico Case is a major artist who probably should be more famous or a bigger star than she is. But I was thinking about that, and I thought maybe it's just because you have to have a younger audience, you know, to be a big star, right? So there are people that are older and respected, and they never get, like, gigantically huge. So maybe that's the reason. But this album is pretty good, I think.
It,
so
it is good. I guess before we say too much about it, I was going to give my opinions, but why doesn't somebody pick a song?
All right, let's do that. I kind of like her, like, upbeat songs that she does kind of here and there. So I'm going to play track 8, which is called City Swan.
Baby, come out and meet you in the street. Something to eat, like we talked about. Baby, come down. It's been a while now. I've got so many things I could tell you if my stubborn mouth doesn't let me down. And I can't look at you straight on. You're made from something different than I know.
That's Nico Case, City Swan. Barrett, you were going to say something.
I was going to say that, you know, more and more, I didn't really listen to, was her last one before this Cyclone?
Middle Cyclone? Wasn't there one in between?
Maybe. There have been a few in there where I can't really comment about her evolution without omitting those. But if you look back, like the Furnace Room Lullaby and some of the old things like that, this is a lot less country than that. But
yeah,
she's kind of hard to describe. Like, if somebody's like, "Who's Nico Case?" Can you? The only thing you could think of to start with would be, "Well, she's this really good alt country singer." But she,
right?
I think she's kind of getting away from that a little bit.
She's kind of a country singer who doesn't do country.
Right. But it's more her voice than anything else, which is kind of weird because isn't she from? She's from Tacoma.
Yeah, Northwest U.S.
Yeah.
Yes, Middle Cyclone was the last one.
Okay.
Fox Confessor Brings the Flood. That was the one before it. Yep.
So, anyway, I'll pick one. I think it's song number 2, Night Still Comes, is a standout.
My brain makes drugs to keep me slow. A hilarious joke for some dead pharaoh. But now not even the masons know what drug will keep night from coming. There are so many tools that are made from my hands, but the tide smashes all my
best laid plans to send. And there's always someone to say it's easy for me, but I revenged myself all over myself. There's nothing you can say to me. You never held it. Catch a falling star, because you can't hold it. If I puked up some sonnets, would you call me a miracle? I'm gonna go where my urge leads no more. Swallowed waist deep in the gore of the forest. A memorial feast, let it finish me, please.
Yep, that was one of my top picks, too.
It's just got a really, really great hook in there that he's a little bit stingy with it. There's not come up as much.
Right.
As
got to leave the people wanting more.
Yeah.
Yep.
But contrast with that with the first song. I don't know if you guys like that one, but I kept finding something about that one to like, or some kind of tune to emerge. And it's just like this. It's terrible.
I liked it.
Yeah. You're wrong. Chris is the tiebreaker.
Chris is the arbiter of the dispute. You going to say anything about
who's,
this,
who's
Chris?
Who's right?
I, dare I say, am the biggest Nico Case fan of us all. I mean, there were times where I was just an out-of-control Nico Case fan. I own, you know, back when we actually owned CDs, I actually own all of our CDs. But I really didn't like Middle Cyclone all that much. And so I kind of soured around 2009. And as such, probably didn't give this album the listen it deserved. But I don't know. To me, it just didn't do a whole lot more. That I mean, if I'm in the mood to go back to listen to a Nico Case album, you know, Fox Confessor Brings the Flood, or The Tigers Have Spoken, or any of those, Blacklisted, Furnace Room, Lullaby, you know, I'd go put any of those on, and I think I'd be pretty happy. But I will pick a song, actually. And generally, as you know, I'm not a lyrics guy, but I thought Nearly Midnight Honolulu was actually a kind of a pretty cool emotional song. So let's listen to that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'll say you guys are tracking right with me, at least on the songs to pick. That was gonna be my next pick too. And we should warn the people. This is where that big red explicit thing comes on. So you know, forward it 2 minutes if you have your little kid with you and you're worried about it. So here we go.
Hey, little kid that I saw at the bus stop one day. It was nearly midnight in Honolulu. We were waiting for the shuttle to take us to the aeroplane. When your mother said, like I couldn't hear her, she said, get the fuck away from me. Why don't you ever shut up? Get the fuck away from me. Oh, oh. Well, I just wanna say that it happened. 'Cause one day when you ask yourself, did it really happen? You won't believe it. But yes, it did. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. 'Cause it happens every day. They won't believe you when you tell them. They won't believe you when you say, my mother, she did not love me. My mother, she did not love me.
No, 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 no. Some days you feel like a cartoon, and people will rush to make excuses for you. You'll hear yourself complain, but don't you ever shout out, please can't have your say, 'cause I still love you.
Got to stop it before we play the whole thing, or we'll get sued by Nico Case. But yeah, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, she'll drop a song like that in on her albums where it's essentially just almost a cappella.
It's completely there's nothing in there except her voice. I don't know if anybody else sings on it, but voice and reverb.
Yeah,
that's it.
She's just got such a great, strong, powerful voice. I mean, she makes it work. And yeah. I would actually, I'd disagree with your categorization of her as not being famous enough. I think she's like among the indie music crowd, I think she's probably one of the most famous people kind of in that, in the discussion. I mean, she's not Wilco for sure, but I think she's probably the most well-known of indie singers in America, actually.
I don't know where I got that impression. I just seemed like she wasn't as big as she should be, but you could be right.
You could she's sort of the godmother of alt country.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
she's actually just on a Nerdist podcast, which means obviously she's hit it big. So
that's good.
A little aside here. Should I be listening to that, Chris?
Pick and choose.
It's Chris Hardwick, right?
Yeah. If there's somebody that you like, listen to it. If not, sometimes you can skip it.
I've heard about it a lot, and I haven't gotten around to listening.
My thing about this song, I like it, and it's certainly affecting, and we've all like seen that kind of thing happen, and you're just like, oh, my God. What do you do? This poor kid. But I'd have put the song last on the album, or even like if this is the old days, like a B-side.
Like stops the album?
Kinda. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of, you know, the Billy Bragg album, Workers' Playtime. He's got this a cappella song in there, Tender Comrade. And the first time it's like, ooh, that's very powerful. And after a while, I just want to skip it every time. God, I sound cynical. But I think it just kind of...
It is a different mood for sure.
I had to put this at the end. Anyway,
well,
it does serve as a public service announcement for kids that might be in that situation. But anybody, any parents that are listening to Nico Case aren't that kind of people, right?
Well, generally, you'd hope.
Only good people listen to Nico Case?
Because we're, you know, like, we are cool people, so anybody who listens to the same music as us is also good people and would never do anything like that.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, though, who among us hasn't told their kid to shut the F up and then slapped him in the face like in the grocery store? Come on, guys, right?
So when social services walks into your house, like the first parenting test they do is like, all right, is there any Nico Case in the house?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yes, there is. All right, my job is done here.
Right.
It's the first test.
Set the record straight. I never did anything like that.
Don't have any misunderstandings here. So you know how we, you know, have like, we're like a panel of experts, right? And we have like different sub-panels who are experts on different things, right? That's one of the things about this podcast, right?
Yep.
So one, we have an expert on Nine Inch Nails our panel, and that happens to be Chris.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah. So,
well, that's me.
Yeah, that's you. You are the resident expert on Nine Inch Nails. You're going to tell us about the new album.
I am. Let's see. I started listening to them when I was probably 16 years old, 1988, 89, something like that. So yeah, I've been with them through their whole career, and it's really odd because their last two albums, I think, have actually been really good, but there was a stretch where they made about three albums that were just absolutely awful. And so I was trying to think of parallels, like other bands that had a really solid career, made some really great albums, then made some just awful albums, and then just kind of picked themselves up and resurrected their career from the ashes, like I think Nine Inch Nails has. So I don't know. You guys think about that. But I like the new album quite a bit. And it's you know, a lot of their older albums, they had the big, you know, banger songs, the kind of the metal industrial type of stuff. And this one, I think, it's a lot more subdued. It's just a little more subtle. And I think it's a little more optimistic than a lot of their old albums have been. You know, a lot of their older stuff is more, you know, cynical and angry. And I guess Trent Reznor, who is obviously the pretty much the sole member of Nine Inch Nails, I don't know if a lot of people were buying him as, you know, kind of a cynical, angry 45-year-old man. So I think this is a pretty good turn for him. And the first song that I want to play from the album is the first song that kind of came out, and it really kind of took everybody by surprise, because it's actually almost kind of like an 80s pop song. And I thought it was pretty cool that he would actually kind of move in this direction. He always kind of had a feeling that this was kind of the type of stuff that he would get into eventually. And I think it's pretty good. I think it's not what people expected. So the song is called Everything.
I survived.
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, I really like the harmonizing, like after the first break. And you don't normally associate Nine Inch Nails with good harmonizing, but I really like it. And that song actually, it angered some of his hardcore fans so much. Like one guy, I think, put a version of the song on synced up with like the Peanuts characters, like Snoopy dancing or something, just to make fun of how upbeat it was. So a lot of the people that like the darker stuff didn't like it, but I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't listened to a lot, you know, to the whole catalog, but I did listen to this album through a couple times, and that song stands out, you know, even on this album, which is supposedly a departure, right? But I'm thinking, hey, he's doing a power pop song that stands out as different. So I wonder if he'll do more of that, or whether it was a one-off, you know, just like give it a shot. But
I mean, fans in some respect, I mean, they have to understand that that's probably what he was listening to through the 80s.
Right.
And he's shown the ability in his past songs to have somewhat of a melody and being able to put together a song like that. So I don't know. I think it was good of him to do. Now that is true. That is a departure from the rest of the album. The rest of it is, you know, more blips and beeps and kind of what is more traditional sound, although it's not as, you know, it doesn't have the big thundering guitar songs like in the past, but I think it's pretty consistently good.
Yeah, it doesn't have the wall of guitars as much as I remember. Yeah. But I'll make a pick. It'll be the obvious, kind of obvious, easy pick, but you know, the one that's kind of the catchy one, I think, at least caught me a little bit, is track two, Copy of A.
Mm-hmm.
Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, there you go. Academy Award winner Trent Reznor.
What, did he score a movie or something?
Yeah, he won an Oscar for the Social Network.
Hmm.
Wow, and I saw that movie too, and I didn't...
Yes. So the eerie electronica that you hear in the background of that movie is him.
Huh.
He and a guy named Atticus Ross, who's kind of his co-producer.
Hmm. So Barrett's sitting back in the easy chair in the studio.
Yep. There. I'm looking at the clock, and it's almost kickoff time.
Yeah, we need to get this moving.
So I'm going to have to bow out of here, but I want to make one comment about the football game last night.
Right? Here we go.
Oh, man.
People saying whether or not Stave, actually put his knee down to, complete the play in this game where the Badgers lost to Arizona State. Whether or not his knee went down, it doesn't matter at all because the referees blew the whistle.
Yeah.
The play is dead. Even if he was standing there about to make a pass and he dropped it accidentally, if they blow the whistle, that's it. The play is over, period.
So
I don't know why people are talking about whether or not his knee was down, which it was.
Yeah.
But
that's just because you can find a video that shows his knee touching the ground.
Yeah.
But if you watch it in real time, it's kind of was hard to see whether his knee touched.
But it doesn't matter because the referees were there and were like, he's down. Blow the whistle. The play's dead. Then it's kind of bizarre the way you put
so
it on the ground.
So this fat toad on Arizona State just lays on the ball until the clock runs out and then it's game over.
And then the referees run off the field as fast as they can.
The guy that was supposed to place the ball obviously wasn't really thinking about how much time is left because usually they are scrambling in that situation. And there were 15 seconds left when Stave did that.
Yeah.
And they all just stood around. Unbelievable.
We're talking about our sports team having been wronged, in case the listeners were wondering.
Yeah, I kind of jumped right into that without any explanation. But
if your sports team gets wronged, that's always a legitimate item of discussion.
They got totally hosed. It was almost as bad as the Packer game last year. So anyway, now I'm all...
Barrett's all riled up.
I'm ready to...
He's going to take off and watch
football. Ready for game time. I got to go get my...
I watched that, and then I was finally ready for bed at 1:30 in the morning after it happened. But then Brett Bielema's wife took to Twitter
and
tweeted karma.
I know.
As if somehow he was wronged during his years here. The millions
bad.
Of dollars he made somehow weren't enough. And then when he just walked out on the team, suddenly it's just so sickening on so many levels.
It's bad.
Yeah, his wife, exactly. Yeah. It's What do you have against all these kids that he recruited and then walked away from? Literally all of these guys, these are anyway.
And this has been Madison Sports Hour.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'll save my other pick for later. You guys got to listen to that. It's really good.
What is it? Oh, I guess we should say it later.
Yeah, we better say it later. Here, we'll stop the recording and we'll have our quick meeting, and then I'll give the goodbye information. So here we go. I'm going to pause this right now. Okay, it's been determined that is all we've got for the week. So we will, of course, be back again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night. You can contact this podcast by sending an email to willsband@yahoo.com or by posting a comment on the webpage willsband.net. You can also contact us through the Will's Band of the Week Facebook page or on Twitter @willsband. You can also, of course, download the podcast on iTunes, the Stitcher app, or any other podcasting app. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin.